Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, happy Thursday, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm your co-hostess, Michelle Pache, and I'm here today with Dr. Tim Hayes. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is Thursday, October 10th. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with Dr. Tim. We would love to hear from you, your comments and questions, because then that makes this your show. So now let's welcome Dr. Tim in the process of learning and practicing forgiveness.
Thank you, Michelle. It's a delight to be here. Thank you for being here and running the switchboard and the chat room.
Absolutely.
And as we were just talking about briefly, we haven't heard from Michael and Jeannie. I believe today is a travel flying day for them. So they may be in the air as we speak. And we're looking forward to the report of how the 3 days of conferences went with scientists and Nobel Prize winners, Nobel laureates, people who were there honoring them, and Michael and Jeannie getting a chance to trade ideas with some of the more progressive minds in science and philosophy. So we'll look forward to that. And we're here today to help support anybody who wants to do some practical life work to make their life better, to apply a tool to their life that will remove anger, fear, sadness, shame, guilt, confusion, and replace it with what's already there underneath of all of those errors in thought. Replace it with the awareness of our true nature as the energy of love. And to do that, we support the use of a tool made available for free by Dr. Michael Rice on the website www.whyagain.org. It's called the Reality Management Worksheet. It's the primary, it's the fundamental tool available on that website. And if you click on the link that says Start Here, it'll take you to a page where you can download Chapter 24 of Michael's book. You can download the latest version of the worksheet process itself in a PDF file. And you can download 6 different audio files of this internet show where Michael or Jeannie have stepped someone through the worksheet process. And with that package of material that's absolutely free, you don't even have to supply your email address to get put on a mailing list. With that packet of material, you have everything you need to begin using this tool. And with application, with practice, you can become a master at the art of forgiveness, at the science, the technology of forgiveness. A fascinating thing about forgiveness is it's not what most of us have learned throughout our lifetime. Most of us have been conditioned to believe that somebody else doing something or not doing something or saying something or not saying something can make me feel anything: angry, sad, scared, hurt, frustrated, confused, ashamed. And have observed in this work that that's simply not true, that that's a hallucination, that that's a conditioning process that's developed over the years of people who have been engaged in the error of thought, and that in reality what happens is, as I live my life, I pick and choose what I pay attention to in the environment, and I screen out the vast majority of the visual inputs that are available to me, and I screen out the vast majority of physical and kinesthetic sensations that are available, and the vast majority of auditory signals that are available. And out of the tiny bit of information that I take from the environment around me, from time to time I rearrange it into a picture in my mind that results in me thinking thoughts that generates a negative emotion: anger, fear, sadness, guilt, shame, confusion, hurt. And I've done that to myself. I've done that to myself by actively selecting only tiny bits of what's actually happening in the world and rearranging it in a way in my mind that it shows me a picture of somebody else being responsible for my pain or my discomfort or my negative emotion or my frustration. So, because we've observed this to be the case, and because we were blessed with Dr. Michael Rice having had access to an ancient manuscript, and because it's been translated, actively translated, from the ancient Aramaic into English, we now know that people back thousands of years ago understood this process and understood that everything I'm feeling inside of me is all an inside job and it's all an internal creation of my own choosing, even if it's unconscious choosing. And so the ancient Aramaic tool of forgiveness is a tool for going inside my mind and my body's energy system and removing anything that doesn't belong. And the ancient scriptures tell us the only thing that belongs in our energy system is the energy we were created with, the energy of creation, the energy of love, the energy of God herself, however you want to talk about it. And that what we've been taught over the years about forgiveness is really a Greek concept of pardoning. And the Greek concept sees an interaction between me and somebody else and says, we can all agree what that person did was wrong and they should be punished, but I'll be the bigger person and I'll agree to pardon them and excuse them so they don't have to go through the punishment for the horrible thing that they did. And that's nice, and it can even be a nice way to protect yourself from extra negative energy, but it doesn't do anything to remove the negative energy and conclusions and false realities within your mind that generated your pain and your sadness and your fear to begin with. So that's what this tool is about. This is a tool that in order to use it, you have to understand how the whole world really works, how the human mind-body energy system is actually an internally driven device, and how this process that we call perception, that the world teaches us is a passive thing, is really very, very active, and that none of us are perceiving the world with 100% accuracy. And we know it's to be even greater truth anytime we're feeling an energy of hostility or fear or anger or sadness or pain or confusion, because that's my internal alarm system going off to alert me to the fact that, hey, Tim, you chose the wrong bits of information from everything that was available in this moment, and you arranged them into a crazy hallucination in your mind, a picture which showed you that something that simply cannot happen actually happened. What is it that simply cannot happen? It simply can't be that something outside of me creates what I'm experiencing inside of me. And while it's a very difficult concept in the beginning, and it may seem to be full of blame, there's nothing about blame in this work. The word is responsibility, And responsibility in this work means a tool that I can pick up and apply to myself. And if I pick up the tool of responsibility and apply it to myself, it means I accept that I have created what I'm experiencing in this moment, and it gives me the ability to respond differently the next time a similar interaction occurs between me and the environment or me and another person in my environment. So that's what we're here to do, is support people in using this tool, applying this tool, perhaps even starting a support group and teaching and supporting others in applying this tool to their lives. And in doing so, we end up removing the seeds of war. We end up removing the seeds of violence from our world one person at a time. I'm the only one that can have access to the seeds of violence and anger and war that get generated within me. And I can only remove the seeds of war from within me. I can't remove them from the mind-body-energy system of anyone else. I can support them if they choose to do that work for themselves, but I can only do it for myself. So that's what we're here to do. Again, the website is whyagain.org. The call-in number is 646-200-4169, and if you have a question or a comment, dial that number and hit 1 on your keypad, and it'll let Michelle know that you have a question or a comment or a testimonial. And I'll throw it back to you, Michelle, to see if we have anybody with their hand up.
Not quite yet. We have several callers listening right now and a couple people in chat, but nobody with a hand up.
All right. Well, I have had some thoughts ever since we were here last time yesterday that maybe Richard would call back, because Richard had called the day before yesterday near the end of the show.
Well, that's romantical. Richard's listening, and your invitation, before you even finished that sentence, he popped up.
All right. Let's say hello to Richard.
Hi, Richard. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
Hello, Richard.
So, yes. Hello, Dr. Jim. How are you today?
Doing very well, thank you.
Good. Yeah, I think I like the way you presented the concept of forgiveness today, and I appreciate that monologue. And I think we got a little – I feel like I – felt misunderstood the other day when I said talked about resonance, and I think you spoke about it today in the sense that if there's something going on inside of me, if it's resonating inside of me, that's what we need to forgive. That somebody out there may trigger it, but that means that maybe they're resonating what's going on inside of me, and that's being taking responsibility, is recognize that it's not them that's creating it. You're creating it yourself, and that's the energy that you want to forgive. So I think that clarifies things a little bit better about what I was talking about with resonance. Is that clear?
Well, it seems clear the way you just said it. It's really when I talk about something happening and how it resonated something inside of me, it's often easy for people to take those words and say, well, you're just in a semantics game trying to say that this other person didn't cause that in you. But if they did this, quote, horrible thing, and that's what stirred up the energy of fear in me, then it was their action that was responsible for what I'm feeling. And what we're trying to be clear about here is that 7 or 8 different people could watch that very same behavior that I would label horrible, and everyone take a different response to it, and everybody have a whole different level of energies either laying dormant within them or resonated by their perception of the event. But it's not the event that's causing anything that's inside the person. It's the person, the individual person's choice of what they tune into, what they allow through their eyes and their ears and their physical senses, and the interpretations they place on it that generates or resonates the energies within the person that might be anger, fear, sadness, or confusion. So it was an excellent question a couple days ago, and as we try and say frequently on this show, there isn't a bad question. And everybody who is thinking, listening, and thinking of a question does themselves and everybody else a favor when they ask the question, because it's pretty much a guaranteed thing that if you have the question in your mind, there are other people listening or who will be listening to this show in archives who've had the same or similar question. So I appreciate the question, and I'm glad for you if it's more clear.
Well, I think it is. I think that was my understanding all along. It's just maybe the way I asked the question that you felt that I was misunderstood as to what I was saying. But what I was really trying to say was that with the concept of resonance, if we're sending out an energy, a negative energy, it's going to resonate in somebody else. And if we see that resonating in them and blame them for what we're feeling, then we're not taking responsibility and doing forgiveness work to clear out that energy in ourselves. I think that's another way of saying the same thing we're talking about as being forgiveness. It's clearing out those negative energies, because what we realize is that those negative energies are destructive to ourselves, not to, I mean, if we hold anger and hostility towards someone else, that anger and hostility, like Michael says, they're just getting the cheap copy. You're getting the original. It's really destroying your structure. And so it's about learning, forgiveness work is about learning to clear up that negative energy so that we can stay in the state of love. You know, I mean, our ultimate goal is being love, because love is the energy of creation.
Well, it sounds like you're right on target to what Michael teaches and what we've been talking about on this show. So,
good.
Well, so anything else happening in your young life that you want to share or discuss?
Well, I'm part of the group that's meeting regarding the Laws of Living class, and there was a number of us on the meeting last night, and there's a number of people that have started to work to get their, you know, credentials or whatever, do the work that they need to do. And some of them have faltered and, you know, sort of stopped because of issues in their lives, taking, you know, a lot of stuff taking over. And there's a number of us that basically haven't even started because we had other things we felt we needed to keep our focus, our concentration on, rather than jumping into a new project. And me being one of them, as I was having to deal with finishing up herb school when I got back from the Laws of Living class, and I really didn't feel I had time to devote to working through that during the certification process. So hopefully now I will dedicate the next 40 days to working on doing the Laws of Living certification that Michael has given us to do in order to get certified. So anyway, that's what's going on for me, and you know, and I'm one of those people that tend to believe, have the belief that it's difficult to try and do two things at once. In this case, now, it's the thing on my plate. So that's where I'm at.
Well, if it's meant for you and it's a good thing for you, I support you in doing it. And if it's not for you, I support you in making that decision. But thank you for the call, and feel free to chime in again later if something comes to mind. And thanks for listening.
Well, it's a pleasure to listen, so thank you.
You're very welcome. So, Michelle, do we have anybody else with their hand up?
No, not right now. The pattern that I've noticed relating to this, there's been things with myself, my husband, my clients, some friends in the forgiveness community, some folks on the radio who called in. It seems like the last couple weeks there's been a theme or a pattern, and it's related to, you know, maybe not being able to commit to using the tools in a way that we know is best for us. And so I'm reflecting on that, trying to decide if that's my resonance drawing those things to me, or my awareness to those things, or there's something else going on, like energetically, like ebbs and flows and patterns and things that, you know, make certain environments conducive towards different ways of being. So just kind of contemplating that.
So you're contemplating whether or not there's an outside force that's influencing people to not do the work they know would be beneficial to them?
Well, maybe, yeah, like maybe different vibrations that are in the environment that help people move towards higher vibration, or maybe plateauing for a little while. I know, a lot of times in my recovery work with the clients, they'll be frustrated about a slip or a relapse. And, you know, I help them to reframe it, because what they learn in those, like, areas of mistake, let's say, are new opportunities of growth. And so, like, we touched on that on yesterday about the going back to the basics that, seem to have a resurgence of power after a period of maybe withdrawal from them. So, you know, just sort of, I mean, there's a lot of angles that I'm looking at as it relates to, you know, this sort of specific, it's like you're spiraling, and, you know, sometimes you spiral up and sometimes you spiral sideways, and, you know, just different, I don't know, different velocity maybe at times.
Okay, well, I can certainly support you in the idea that there may be energies within you that are ebbing and flowing and spiraling in one direction or another, and that your attention may get drawn to one focal point or another, and that you might have something that you judge is more important for your time within one period of time or another than some tools for self-improvement. I can't really buy into the idea of these external energies being the thing that's driving me. And one of the ways that I've observed this and come to talk about it is the book The Way of Mastery has led me to the following statement, that you have the infinite capacity to choose the focus of your conscious awareness in any moment. And the spiritual teachings that resonate most powerfully with me all say something like this, that the Creator gave you the capacity to originate mind energy, to choose the focus of your attention. And it is the choice of the focus of your attention in each moment which creates your experience of life. So if you have the infinite capacity to choose the focus of your conscious awareness, it doesn't mean there aren't any other energies out there. It doesn't mean that you're separate and separated from everyone and everything in the universe. It simply means that if you choose to focus on what will help you and restore you to your awareness of your true nature as love, there's nothing that can block that. And the analogy I use is, if I need to go directly south of where I'm located after the radio show, and I need to go 15 miles south, and there's a road that would take me straight south, and I get out and I get in my car or I get on my bicycle, and I end up 20 miles northwest, and I say, well, it's because there was a 5-mile-an-hour wind coming from the southeast. That's absurd. Now, the wind is there, and I can feel it. I can experience it. It might take me more gas in my car if I'm driving into a 5 or a 10-mile-an-hour headwind. It might take me more energy with my pedaling my bicycle. It may take me longer to get there because I can feel that wind or the effects of the wind, but to blame it for taking me in the opposite direction from where I intended to go is as crazy as blaming what I'm choosing within a moment on someone else's mood or the energies of, you know, the global consciousness or, you know, this group I'm associated with where two or three people had illness in their families, and so everybody's energies are distracted with that. That's an energy that I may be able to feel, but it is not responsible for my choice. And I have the infinite capacity, as do you and everyone listening, the infinite capacity to choose the focus of your conscious awareness in each and every moment. And that focus of my conscious awareness is what creates my experience of life moment to moment. So that would be my input on that.
That makes sense. And when you choose something that's not as powerful for yourself, even though you know that you have the alternatives, then it seems frustrating or curious as why anybody would do that.
That would be a good thing to unravel using the tools like the Mind Shifter or the Reality Management Worksheet or Three Earliest Memories of Conflict or a breath session to allow what is in my unconscious to bubble up and reveal to me why I'm choosing what I'm choosing. But the motivations will always be internal. The energies that matter, one of the ways that Michael says it is, the strongest resonant energy in my system will drive my goals and my behavior. And at one point in time, he talks about biases, and a bias being a resonant energy that I'm not aware of. And he says, the strongest resonant energy that I'm not aware of has a trump card to motivate my goals and therefore drive my behaviors. So that's a good thing to explore.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Because if you're in denial about it or not, I mean, you really don't know that it's there. And you're like, well, I have all these intentions, but why am I not making the choices that support it most fully?
Well,
so this is a pattern that I've seen.
Well,
we
like to talk about it in individual therapy sessions and let people know that my assumption when they come in the door is that they're not sick, they're not crazy, they're not stupid, they're not lazy, and they're not masochistic. Masochism does exist in the sexual realm where some people get conditioned to the point where they need some physical pain to stimulate the orgasm. But I've never met the person who is actively trying to make their life worse. So I tell people when they come into my office that it's my assumption that they're not sick, they're not crazy, they're not stupid, they're not lazy, and they don't enjoy pain. And I'm willing to be proven wrong on any of those, but that's my initial assumption. And from there, we move on to say, okay, so if that's true, what it means is you have really good reasons for doing everything you've ever done in your life. Even if you walk in saying, help me, Doc, I don't know why I do what I do. How can that be? Well, that can be because neuroscientists today estimate that if I'm really, really paying attention for the next period of time, whether it be a day or an hour or a week, if I really focus and pay attention, I will be able to be aware of 5 out of every 100 thoughts that go through my mind. That means 95% of the thoughts that go into my decision about what shirt to wear, what route to take to work, whether or not to have a beer before I go to bed, whether or not to eat a donut when I'm on a diet, what kind of car to buy, 95% of the thoughts that motivate my choices, my decisions, my preferences are outside my conscious awareness. Then it becomes easy to understand how I may have a very good reason for doing something and still consciously be completely frustrated by the fact that I keep doing something that I say that I logically, consciously don't want to do. And that's where tools like the ones Michael Rice offers are so useful. Almost every tool is there as a way to help uncover what's in that 95% of my active thoughts that are hidden from my conscious awareness. Uncover them, bring them out into conscious awareness where I can either release them or actively work to dismantle them through the forgiveness process. So I'll take a breath and see if that's resonated any questions or comments from anyone, including you, Michelle.
Well, you know, it reminds me a lot, because I don't like to demonize substances particularly, because I know they're adaptive, and so I understand what you're saying. Are you familiar with psychotherapy, purpose, process, and practice? It's an extension of the principles from A Course in Miracles?
No.
Oh, Dr. Tim, this is something that you would totally love and enjoy. And it is specific to psychotherapy, and I found it very valuable to see the Christ-like divinity that is coming into the session. And very simply put, the purpose of psychotherapy is to remove the blocks to truth and focusing on the healing that's done between within the context of the relationship. And they use psychotherapy because that's what Helen was, but essentially it really refers to any relationship between two people and then exchange and then, I guess, the opportunity for forgiveness that is always present.
So what's the name of what you were referring to that you said I would be so interested in?
It's like a little booklet, and it's at the end of A Course in Miracles in the newer books, and its title is Psychotherapy, Purpose, Process, and Practice. And it's actually I have several copies, like one in my dresser, one in my office, one in the glove box, because it's you know, like as far as building brain cells for me. Given my vocation, it's just very helpful to always be resetting my compass like that. It's like less than 25 pages. And I actually am in a group of people, and we study it every week.
Well, I'm glad you find it useful. I'll look into it and keep working at it. I just found a PDF of it on the Internet, so I'll take a look at it.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to hear your feedback.
All right. Anybody else with questions or comments in the chat room or on the phone?
No. Peace wrote something in chat room. You can take a look at that. He says, sometimes it takes pain to realign consciousness with intent. We tend to run away from our problems in our mind. We need all events to lead back to peace and to feel a balance that allows the inner communications to run high. So I think they were kind of agreeing with what you were talking about.
Okay, well, that sounds a lot like the way Guy Finley likes to talk about the process, and that he says lessons ride in on the back of events we don't want. And he says that the value and the importance of a lesson is directly proportional to the degree to which I resist it and don't want it. So the most important lessons in my life come from the events that I most reject, that I say I don't want to have. And he usually tells stories to make his points, but some of his more powerful points are made in statements like that, that lessons write in on the back of events, and that the importance of the event is directly proportional to the degree to which I reject it and don't want it. And then he talks about how we've all known people who have been through major life events, like people like Nelson Mandela and Mother Teresa, and we hold them in such high esteem, and we say, and we can even see how their choice of a pattern of reaction to some very unsavory life events has been directly responsible for their growth, their spiritual growth, their peace of mind, their ability to extend love in the world. And yet, when those very same events come knocking in our lives, we go screaming and running the other way. So we say we want life, we want God, we want to be more holy, more spiritual, we want to know God more deeply, we want to be more flexible and loving and accepting in our lives, and yet we don't want any part of the life lessons that will force us to learn to let go. So it's a paradox. Taking a breath. So, Michelle, are you at all familiar with Guy Finley?
I've heard Michael use the name before, but nothing very specific.
Well, it's all the same teachings, essentially, with a different style. And as far as I can tell, Guy Finley did a lot of reading and studying of Krishnamurti's work. And he's got some fabulous stories to bring to life the dynamics of how most of us live our life running from the things that will enhance our lives, that will teach us to love, that will key us into the ways in which we are literally creating our own realities and then blaming it on outside circumstances or other people. So it's wonderful material. He has quite a bit of material that you can listen to free on his website, and he sells CDs and CD sets for a very reasonable fee. And it's Guy Finley, GUYFINLEY.com.
Oh, yeah, I pulled it up while you were talking, and I started laughing because there's quite a few images of him, and when I looked at them all kind of quickly and collectively, I realized he looks a lot like you.
Well, that's only because you're looking very, very quickly.
No, I don't know, the shape of the face, the beard, I don't know, something about it.
Well, you know, it's the fact of the matter is no one has ever seen us together in public, so it might be that we're the same person.
Well, that's what I was like, is this a trick?
New conspiracy theories start the time.
You know, my inboxes seem to be loaded with that stuff these days. So,
So we're here to talk about forgiveness. We're here to talk about the process of identifying whenever you're feeling something less than love and recognizing that that's your internal alarm system going off, and it's telling you that there's a problem inside of you, not outside of you. And one of the most difficult parts of this process is to just stop that incessant reflexive response that's been programmed into you to immediately, because your eyes point outward, so, you know, it's kind of a natural extension of where your eyes are directed. When something happens and you start to feel pain or sadness, you start looking outside of you for the cause. And one of the most frustrating and yet most liberating parts of this work is to realize that I've never experienced any emotional pain that wasn't a gift and that wasn't my own creation. And Guy Finley likes to say, psychological pain is not your enemy. It is only fear of it that tells you it's your enemy. Psychological pain is your emotional warning system. It's your alarm bell going off, telling me, hey, Dr. Tim, you're making a mistake here. You know, I got an email from somebody a while back, and as I read it, I felt this knot forming in my stomach. Now, just think about that. Here's a computer screen, and some pixels lit up on the screen. How could that in any way be responsible for a knot in my stomach? The answer is it can't. There are pixels lighting up on computer screens all around the globe all the time, and they're not causing anything in my stomach or anybody else's stomach. But when I see those pixels arranged in a certain way, and I'm holding memories and thoughts and judgments in my head, and I let it come into my eyes, and I let it form a thought, and I form a judgment that says, that's wrong and that shouldn't be that way, I create a tension of resistance within me. And then maybe that triggers some other traumatic memories. And then that triggers a defensive tightening reaction in my stomach, getting braced for being hit or attacked in some way. That's what's causing my discomfort, not anything outside of me. You know, we talk a lot in this work about pain and pain being an inside job. And from time to time when I do that, people are quick to jump up and say, wait a minute, you mean if somebody came in here and smacked you in the face, that wouldn't be causing your pain? And the fact of the matter is that even if somebody walked in the room right now and hit me, my experience of pain would be directly related to the focus of my conscious awareness. I have been in situations, in athletic situations, where I sustained impacts from basketballs, footballs, flying bodies, and I felt next to nothing because I was focusing on the play. I was focusing on driving through the tackle. I was focusing on making the tackle. I was focusing on catching the ball. And even days later, I've had next to zero physical symptoms from what would have been a major disruption in my energy system if I was just sitting there calm and relaxed when this impact happened. So my answer to the question is yes, I definitely believe that even if somebody were to come in the room right now and punch me in the stomach or hit me in the face, cancel the thought, that the degree of discomfort I feel would be directly related to my internal focus of awareness, the thoughts I have about whether or not that person is wrong or bad or evil, I'm the victim, this shouldn't be happening, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've had many cases, and we've talked about them on this radio show, that I've had people come into therapy sessions in significant physical pain and leave with no pain at all. And all that happened, there was no medical intervention, there was no deep massage, there was no Reiki treatment, there was nothing that happened in the session except the individual who was experiencing the pain realized something about the energies they had stored in them and the judgments they were holding against it. And when they released that judgment and those energies, the pain disappeared. So, questions or comments?
Well,
anything in the chat room or anybody with a hand up?
Yeah, well, I have a comment. Just, I'm very new to this work, and it's interesting because when I worked in inpatient rehab, you know, I would tell my clients that relapse happens before you use, and that your emotions are your early warning radar that that risk is getting greater. And so it's just interesting now, it's, you know, really validated, but in a more concrete way for me to use and more practical way, really, in terms of doing the healing, you know, as it relates to otherwise anesthetizing those feelings. So, while you were talking, chatting with Peace, they had, we were talking about pain, and they said, or he said, sometimes it's also how we look at pain. A lot of us know that love is the greatest pain of all. And I said, I'm not sure if I understand that one. And he said, you have to experience to understand. And so I got permission to ask you about your thoughts on that comment. Dr. Tim?
I'm here. I would have to agree with you that I don't understand the comment about love being the greatest pain of all. So if we could have clarification on that, I might be able to make a comment. But at this point, I don't know what's meant by that statement.
Okay. So actually, the hand came up in the switchboard. Sunny's here. I think she wants to make a comment. Hi, Sunny.
Hi there. Michelle, I actually didn't touch one. That may be something in a unit of work that you might need to look at, but I appreciate you recognizing the fact that I was at least listening to the show today. And,
well, don't mean to put you on the spot. If for some reason, yeah, it shows up like as if you have a hand up.
Oh, that's fine. I guess while I have you here, I'm in terms of the addiction topic that you mentioned. I have had a hard time fully letting go of cigarettes, and then now with this respiratory thing from the vehicle exhaust, it's just really triggering a lot of things and realizing, you know, just it's travesty that I would, any part of my consciousness would allow myself to suck my breath in any way, and I don't know what that might be about, and that it, I've allowed these things to keep coming in the way of be fully breathing and having full life experience to really dedicate to do my work. Would you have any kind of a opinion about that, where I might start since we're here together?
Well, one thing I know about cigarettes, they're related, and the use is related to the need to control. But I think most interesting is that the reason that the cigarettes have a calming effect on the body is related a lot to the deep breathing that is concentrated in, let's say, a 5-7 minute smoke. So I know one time when I was quitting smoking, I used to hit a eyeliner, like a crayon, eyeliner crayon pencil, and just pretended like I smoked for 7 minutes of breathing, and then the craving went away.
Okay.
Maybe the question is for Dr. Tim, but as far as cigarettes go, I know that, you know, the breathing that goes there is a lot of what's helpful about why we use cigarettes.
Yeah, because I'm, like, really big on breathing. I teach breathing, and there's a lot of little underlying emotions behind, you know, the embarrassment or the, and it's the self-confidence, I'm sure, and a lot of variables there. So I will attempt that. I mean, that idea of the eyeliner, I think what you're referring to is much the same as these big cigarettes they have out now.
Those electronic cigarettes give a dose of nicotine, and so that's very similar to caffeine as far as that. I mentioned the eyeliner because it was the quickest thing that I had in my purse at the time to, you know, mock the cigarette.
Yeah.
And that was 30 years ago, too, so I don't know, you know, with the breathing.
Well, I do the best I can. I do organic tobacco, and then I'm recently using these little filter things that screen out that much less going into my organism. So it's just becoming more and more consciously aware without doing the guilt thing to myself and all the little things that we can do that keep you clinging. So,
I don't know much of anything about any of that, but I'll tell you something that Guy Finley told us in one of his talks. Somebody asked him about the smoking thing, and he said, I'll tell you what, start with this. Simply refuse to smoke unconsciously. So make it a very conscious choice and a meditative practice. Every time you smoke a cigarette, stop everything else and just pay attention. Turn it into one of the Japanese tea meditations. Don't judge yourself negatively. Don't allow the negative spin of self-talk to start. Simply enjoy your cigarette and be conscious of the whole process and simply make that commitment to yourself that you're going to keep smoking, at least for now, but you're going to do it very consciously. And then just watch what happens.
Okay.
I like all that, right. Dr. Tim. I could totally all feel right. That. Also.
Yeah. And then that brings up the groundwork for about 3 to 5 other worksheets.
There you go.
The only other answer I have for you, Sonny, is all of the above.
Yeah. It definitely is a matter of all of the above and a lot of self-love and a lot of little things there. God bless you guys. Thank you ever so much.
Well, thanks
for
the call. Keep us posted.
I certainly will.
So, Michelle, is there any clarification on how love is pain according to peace?
Not quite. Manja has her hand up here. And we've got about 6 minutes left in the show, so let's say a quick hi to her. I've got her.
Hi, Michelle and Dr. Tim. I'll say this quickly so that perhaps Peacemaker can get in. I also, when I was quitting smoking, I also did the pretend thing. I rolled up a piece of white paper because cigarettes were white, made it the same size and length as a cigarette, and pretended I was smoking. And I had the same experience that you did where the deep breathing that comes along with inhaling was so relaxing that I didn't actually need to make the trip into town to get the cigarettes. Something else came up, though, in terms of Sonny, and I'm not sure Michael would know how to do this, and maybe Dr. Tim or you can. I got this feeling that it would really be good for her to do a mind shifter, something like, I love smoking because it gives me an excuse, or I love smoking, I love to smoke because it distracts me from my issues, something like that. So that's my input for today.
I'm glad
you okay, well, as we said, all of the above, and I should say, in case anyone's listening who's not familiar with the show, whenever Michael does an intensive or a workshop, at one point or another, someone will ask, well, how would I address this particular problem, or how would I handle that particular emotion? And he turns around and writes on the board all of the above. And what that means is the forgiveness, the reality management worksheet, which is also called the forgiveness worksheet in this process, mind shifters, which I call targeted journaling, the three earliest memories of conflict exercise, the codependence to interdependence exercise, still point breathing, and the list goes on, the commitment, reading the commitment process to myself. And these are all tools that are available on the website at www.whyagain.org. And so I would have to agree with you, Magda, that a targeted journaling session on anything to do with it's safe and healing for me to live smoke-free, or it's safe and healing for me to be fully conscious and aware of all of my thoughts and emotions, and the implication there being that I don't need to numb them out, numb myself out with a cigarette, that might be useful. So thank you for that suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, well, I'll sign off, and hopefully someone else can get in. Thank you guys for doing this. You're wonderful.
Well,
you're
thank
welcome.
You, Martha.
Thank
thanks for the call, and thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm.
So, Michelle, any clarification on how Peacemaker thinks love is the greatest pain?
Yeah, he wrote some stuff, and it's still not clear to me, and he's reiterated the point that you have to experience it to understand. So maybe it's something that's difficult to language.
Okay, well, I'll just say that, you know, the teachings that have resonated most with me have talked about how there is no pain in love, that love is the energy of creation. It's this word we use to point at the experience of complete and total acceptance, compassion, connectedness, ease. And so that would be my experience when I have felt most connected to my source and the people around me. There's no pain involved. There's this joyful, relaxed, connected feeling. And so with that in mind, we're getting close to our 90-second mark. So let's just say thank you to everybody who's been listening and contributing. Thank you, Peacemaker, for your comments and questions. And let's invite everybody to come back, because we might have the special bonus tomorrow of having Michael Rice and Jeannie Rice on the show to describe what's been going on with them over in Europe, in Sweden and Denmark, and maybe by the time they call in, Rome, we don't know. But we're here 5 days a week from noon to 1 Central Time, and the website is up around the clock. So please tap into the tools, use them, and give us a call and let us know how it's working for you, or if you have questions or comments. And in the meantime, have the best year yet of your eternal life. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.